Welcome to the Vocation Hour with Father Stephen DeLacy, Director of the Vocation Office for Diocesan Priesthood in Philadelphia. This program is produced by the Archdiocese in conjunction with Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here is your host, Father DeLacy.
Hello, this is Father DeLacy, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's great to be back with you and on this Vocation Hour. We have two wonderful seminarians who will be joining us later on in the show. Anyone who's inspired by this, you can listen to this again on the Vocation Office website, which is www.heedthecall.org. Our entire faith is about being formed into discipleship. And yet so often in our church and our experience of Catholicism, people's growth are stunted. They're not growing to be full disciples. They know about our Lord. Many go to church on Sunday. Unfortunately, many don't. And besides just kind of that compartmentalized, I'm going to give 1 hour, to God, that there's not the full blown living out of the faith, as disciples. And really, like our Lord's command, before he ascended, was go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the goal of our baptism is to really become disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus with the entirety of their lives, unreservedly, one's entire life is dedicated to the service of God in imitation of our Lord. And so, that should be what we seek. It's the best way for us to fully share in the life of our Lord. And it really is that personal encounter with Jesus that gives us, it becomes the catalyst really of, seeking and wanting to be disciples. So often people are talking about a vocation crisis in the church, and certainly at one level, it's definitely a numbers game. We need a certain number of priests to staff all of our parishes and other ministries that priests staff. When it comes to religious life, there's so many great roles out there that religious used to take, and now we have to kind of have lay people fill those roles, and they're doing a great job, but it's just changed the landscape of the church and that sort of thing. But people would say that the real issue, the real reason why we don't have the vocations that we need, it's not a specific vocation crisis. It's more a specific discipleship crisis, that people are not engaged with the faith at such a strong level that they're giving their entire lives over to Jesus. And so the more we can enter into an engaged discipleship, the more fruitful we are going to be in fostering vocations, because everyone who's a disciple makes doing God the Father's will the number one priority in their lives. And so if they're then being prompted to the priest, to a call to the priesthood, or prompted to a call to the religious life or even the married life, then they're going to seek and do that because it's what God wants. We live in a very narcissistic culture where we place ourselves at the center of our universe. And that leads us then to become very self-indulgent. We avoid pain. If things are too hard, we try to avoid that. And instead of living a Christocentric life where our Lord Jesus is at the center of our life, we're living an egocentric life. And, the problems with that is, people become very depressed. We're having some of the highest rates of, child suicide that our country has ever experienced. There's high rates of depression. There's a lot of hopelessness out there, and all these challenges can be solved by having a lively, intense relationship with our Lord Jesus. And so what's the best way to kind of become a disciple and engage our Lord in that way? My recommendation, if you're not already giving yourself totally to our Lord and experiencing the joy and the excitement that comes from that, the fulfillment that comes from you know, having this personal relationship with our Lord. You know, my challenge to you then is spend time before the Blessed Sacrament. Throughout the Archdiocese, we have many, many adoration chapels. You know, go in and spend time with Jesus. Connect with him on a personal level. Pour your heart out to him, and you are going to be so blessed, and it'll be so amazing. For myself in my own life, this really led to you know, my vocation. I had a very powerful encounter with God. I was a Catholic going through the motions and going to Mass on Sunday, but was not a disciple and did not really have that dynamic, a personal relationship with our Lord. At the time, I was a coach for our CYO high school volleyball team in my home parish, which is St. George in Glen Olden. And that particular night, we were in the championship game. And so the only times I would ever pray outside of going to Sunday Mass was when I was taking tests and I wanted to do well or at least not fail, or when I was involved with sports. And so during that time, I said a prayer that I said 1,000 times beforehand. I remember I was in college at the time, Westchester University. My team that I was coaching was in the championship that night. I was working at my manager's computer in my internship, and I just started to think about the game. And so I started to pray. The difference was, it was one of the first times, maybe even the first time, that I ever prayed in such a way where I opened my heart to God. I said the same things I said 1,000 times before. You know, Lord, you know these kids. You know their struggles. You know the different things that are affecting them, that for some of them, this is the only positive thing in their life. Lord, we need this win. Help us to win. And wasn't so much what I said. It was just the reality of me having an open heart to God. And after saying that prayer, while saying that prayer, better said, I just had this awesome experience of just God's presence filling the room in such a tangible and amazing way. And it left me so hungry, as intense as it was and as real as it was. I thought people were going to walk by the office and look in and see that I was with God. That's how real and amazing it was, how, you know, in a sensory way, it was, you know, very, very intense. As soon as his presence filled the room, it dissipated just as quickly, but it left me forever changed. From that moment on, I was hungry for God. I couldn't get enough of him. I started going to prayer meetings. I started going to Bible studies. I started going to daily Mass, and I started to do a daily holy hour. And the first time I stepped in to the Blessed Sacrament, I just had this amazing experience of just being engulfed in his presence once again in a very similar way that I experienced in my manager's office. I experienced it, you know, praying before the Blessed Sacrament. And that's how I knew that I was meant to stay and be with our Lord. And so that time before the Blessed Sacrament was so critical in my own formation, faith formation, that if we want to work on any relationship, we just simply have to spend time with Jesus. And so spending that quality time with our Lord, where his love just radiated, you know, from the monstrance, you know, he was transforming me, you know, and I was more and more than, you know, becoming open to, you know, his call in my life. Now, you know, I experienced it, you know, and I didn't necessarily want the priesthood right away. I kept saying, like, no, Lord. I remember one time, you know, I was just getting ready to do a holy hour. And I remember this one time I sat down and I'm like, you know, Lord, we need a heart to heart here. You know, you have me going to daily Mass most days a week. You have me doing a daily holy hour. You know, we have a good thing going here. Lord, don't blow it. Don't, you know, force me to become a priest. Because I was thinking about it all the time. I was daydreaming about it. I would hear a Sunday homily and I would think, I could do a better job. You know, all these ideas of the priesthood kept coming in my mind. And finally, you know, he spoke in my heart in a very powerful way as I was praying before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, and what he said, you know, was so powerful. It wasn't audible. It was just something he just kind of placed in my heart. And it was a question. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? And as he put that question there, I was convicted right away of not trusting him. I couldn't say, Lord, here, take my life, you know, do with it what you will. I couldn't say, Lord, I trust you, even though you're calling me to give up marriage and having children. You know, I know you're going to take care of me and bring my fulfillment. I didn't have that level of trust. And so as I was going before the Blessed Sacrament, from that moment on, I had to wrestle with the idea of trusting God. And I praise God every single day that he has called me to this intense personal relationship with him, which also then has led me to be called to the priesthood, which then led me to enter the seminary and then become ordained a priest. I thank God every single day that he has called me to the priesthood, because it has brought so much joy and so much fulfillment in my life. If I kept living my life, you know, my own way based on my own agenda, it would have been very self-focused, very, personal agenda driven. And it would have been a train wreck, you know, because my priorities were, you know, lined up in such a way that it was not going to bring me true fulfillment. It's only this kind of personal relationship with our Lord and being open then to whatever life he has prepared. You know, he talks about he has prepared a place for us. Well, this place that he's prepared for us, we're meant to live in this life and experience it in this reality. And so we'll praise God if, you know, anyone who's out there who's considering a call to the priesthood, I never hesitate at all to invite you to come and follow Jesus into the priesthood, because it's a life that is so very worthy to live, and it's a life that brings so much joy and so much fulfillment. Well, praise God. My name is Father DeLacy, and you're listening to the Vocation Hour. I want to thank Jocelyn, who is our producer in the Archdiocese here, for producing this for us. She does such a wonderful job. And I want to thank everyone at Holy Spirit Radio for, you know, for airing this. They're so generous with their, with their great ministry. A couple events to plug. In a couple weeks, we have a Come and See Weekend for high schoolers. We have at St. Charles Seminary a Come and See Weekend. We already have at the recording of this show, we already have about 8 guys signed up. We're anticipating several more to sign up, and we have plenty of room. So if you're a high school man and the idea of priesthood keeps coming to you, it's real important to resolve that idea. And I'm going to come back and talk to you a little bit more to that, but it's real important to resolve the idea. There's, you know, if God's putting that idea there, or if that idea is coming there, it's most likely that God is putting it there, and he puts it there for a reason. Not that every single guy who's ever had the idea come to them automatically becomes a priest, but God does use that in a powerful way to form, you know, our identity as men. So we have this Come and See Weekend on the 13th to 15th of February. You can get more details on the Heed the Call website. So you can get the information and details on the Heed the Call website. For our high school men, last year we had a phenomenal success for our Quivadas Days camp. And it was really a tremendous success last year. The previous year we had 19 men on the Quivadas Day camp. Last year we had a 101, and we are aiming for an even bigger number next year. Our stated goal is 200, and we feel very confident that we'll be able to get that. Right now we only actually have 150 spots, and we're hoping to get more spots so we can reach the 200. So the Quivadas camp is going to be first come, first serve, for men who are trying to live out the faith. It's ran by priests and seminarians, and it's obviously an ideal situation to discern a call to the priesthood, but it's also for men who want to grow in their faith and be spiritual leaders. And so come out to the Quivadas camp, which is really the first full week of July. You can get more insights on the Heed the Call website. With our great success with Quivadas last year, we want to take a step forward now and provide a dynamic retreat experience for college age men and just post college age men. And so there's a similarity. Quivadas was at the Black Rock Retreat Center. This event that is similar to Quivadas, but distinct. It's for college men up to age 25. And we're calling it Forged by the Fire. That's by the fire of the Holy Spirit. We're working on an icon to produce and guide what this is meant to be. It's supposed to be the father, who's the metalsmith working on a molten iron cross. in the refining fire. And the image there is that it's the Father who's forming the image of the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the mode that we will be engaging for this Forged by the Fire. Because college students have no money, the event is entirely for free. We have Father Tom Daly, who's actually the Cardinal Foley Chair for Communications at the seminary, and a St. Francis de Sales Oblate. He's coming out to give presentations. We're going to give every single participant a copy of St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life, and we're going to chew on that and go deep in that rich teaching that he brings forth that has led many through the years to great holiness. And so if you're a man of God in college age years up until age 25 who's seeking to grow in holiness and wants to be transformed by the Father's love, you know, you definitely want to come to this Forged by the Fire retreat experience. It's at the Black Rock Retreat Center where, you know, we'll have the lake and the pool and the basketball, you know, just like for Quivadas, the ropes course. But it's going to be a pretty intense retreat where we're going to go pretty deep in the faith. And so, you know, we have some great events coming forward. One question that my office keeps getting is, you know, like if a man is in college or high school and he's thinking about the priesthood, what should he do? You know, as you can tell, we put a significant amount of emphasis on our high school outreach. And so is it appropriate for a man in high school to be discerning such a very important question of being called to the priesthood? And I would offer the answer is yes, that many of our young men, it's a very natural time to be thinking about what they're meant to do for the rest of their lives. And there's a lot of benefits for a man going into our college seminary. We're very blessed to have a dynamic college seminary at St. Charles Seminary where you can go in after high school and get a 4-year college degree. The major would be philosophy. It's accredited. It's you know, staffed with fine professors and, it's a top-notch academic experience. And so there's really no loss for a man going in after high school. He would still get, the prerequisites, classes under his belt like he would any other university. The tuition that we charge is just under $10,000 for the year. That's both room and board and tuition when a man's in the college program. So it's significantly cheaper than other college programs. And, it really is wonderful. So, especially those first 2 years where you're taking the general ed requirements, there's nothing to lose. And what is to be gained? Well, when a man is called to the priesthood in his high school years, it's real important to bring that call to a resolution as soon as possible. You want somebody going into college, who is, going to be taking their study seriously, that they're career oriented and that sort of thing. And you want a man at that point to be free when he's dating to consider marriage. Well, if the man is convinced he's called to the priesthood and he's going through college, that's going to frustrate his college career. That's going to frustrate his dating life. He's going to be conflicted. Like, do I do serious dating? And even though I know I'm going to be a priest or think I'm going to be a priest or there's that possibility. So if a man is being called to the priesthood in high school, my recommendation is come to the seminary and to bring it to a resolution. If you're not called, you go through the couple years of the seminary and that will become clear and you're able to lay that to rest. If you are being called to the priesthood, then praise God, you're right where you need to be. You're getting years of seminary formation under your belt. You're getting an incredible bang for the buck in terms of, great education for a relatively low cost. And, you're progressing, the way you're meant to. So, they're my 2 cents. If any parent has a son who's considering the priesthood and, might be struggling with the idea and not sure if their son is ready or that sort of thing, please call my office because my ministry is not only for the men themselves who are being called to the priesthood. My ministry is also for, it also for the parents of these men to make sure that you feel comfortable, to make sure that, you know, you're confident that, you know, that your son is doing the best thing and seeking and doing God's will by entering the seminary. Well, praise God. My name is Father DeLacy. I'm the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. You're listening to the Vocation Hour. As I promised you, we have two great seminarians who are in the studio at this point. You know, Alec and Eric, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, doing, Father. Good to be here.
It's great to have you guys. And I wonder if their microphones are on. Why don't you do a quick hello sound test? So say another hello for us, and maybe say your name so that the audience can know your voice.
Hello, Father and everyone. My name is Alec Bonacci.
Perfect.
Father, how you doing? My name is Eric Tamney.
Wonderful. And these are two of the best seminarians that we have at St. Charles Seminary. They're both Philadelphians and that sort of thing. And so without further ado, let's get to the crux of things. And could you guys share with us, you know, your vocation story with your, you know, with your backgrounds and that sort of thing. So why don't we start with Alec?
Okay, why not? My name is, Alec, and I'm from the Archdiocese, Father, like you said, and I went to Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. That's the parish that I'm from. And growing up, you know, I didn't really take my faith that seriously.
And where is that parish?
Our Lady of the Sacred Heart is in Hilltown, Pennsylvania, Doylestown.
A shout out to all the Hilltowners, and you know, not too far from where Holy Spirit Radio in Doylestown there. So hopefully all of you will be praying and that sort of thing. That's wonderful. What year are you in?
I'm a junior.
Oh, wonderful. Junior in the college program, and I'm interrupting you, so why don't you please proceed?
Okay. I went to Lanzo Catholic High School, and after that I went to the St. Joe's and Temple for a few years. But for the most part, growing up, you know, I didn't take faith very seriously in my life. I fell away from God for quite a bit. Although the seeds, you know, of my vocation, you know, were sown at an early age, you know, growing up, you know, I fell away, and that was due to a lot of different factors, you know, the culture itself, my own, you know, pride, my own not willingness to be, you know, that tendency to rebel, I guess you could say. Also, you know, my parents, they didn't go to Mass that daily on Sunday, so that had an impact on me as well. But, you know, I eventually, you know, found God, and that was quite a struggle. You know, I had to go through a lot.
Do you mind sharing? How did you find God?
Sure. So it's kind of like a crazy story. Basically, what happened was, I was a football player at Lanzo Catholic. I love football. And I played all 4 years. And as a junior, I hurt my back in an injury. I went to tackle a guy, and I just moved in such a way that hurt my back. And so I had this pain in my back. It never really went away. And it wasn't like agonizing pain, but it wasn't just, you know, a little bit either. It was kind of like, you know, a scale of 5 on a scale of 10. And so I saw different treatments to get better for a long time. This is during college and, you know, senior year of high school. So I saw like acupuncturists, chiropractors, back specialists, you know, what have you, to try to get better. And, you know, nothing really worked. Nothing really sufficed. And this leading up 4 years later on Holy Thursday of 2012, unbeknownst to me, that this was, you know, that day, I was at a back specialist, and he was using numbing media in the problem areas of my back. And when they, you know, used a needle to, you know, to do that, they apparently hit a nerve that went to my heart. And it was crazy. As a result of that, like, my heart rate started to race. And I remember sitting on the hospital bed and looking across from me and seeing, like, these young children. And I was like, you know, what have I been doing? Because I made a lot of mistakes prior in college, you know, not being very focused, not very striving to do God's will, or, you know, being a good person. And I remember looking across from these kids, and I was like, you know, I was 22 at the time, I've had all these years, and I felt like I was wasting a lot of them. And then I was looking, you know, at these kids, and some of them, I don't know what was wrong with them, if they were, like, fatally ill or whatever, but you know, they were young, and they've only had this certain amount of time to live. So I was like, you know, I should really embrace whatever time I do have left. And, you know, during those moments, I didn't know what was going to happen. The doctors weren't really sure either. I didn't know where to turn. So, you know, I turned to God, and, you know, I said, you know, I kind of bargained with him. I was like, hey, God, you know, I don't even know if you're there, if you're listening to me, but if you are, if you spare my life, I'll do whatever you want me to do and follow you. So ever since then, you know, my first Mass in years was Easter Sunday. My back it still bothers me a little bit, but for the most part, it's better. And, you know, Christ is helping me carry that cross. Mm.
But praise God, that was like some moment then, like you just, that was your moment of becoming a disciple. We were talking about how, like, you know, we have an issue of people not becoming disciples, but in that moment, you just made that commitment to follow him, and then you've been faithful ever since.
Yes, yes. I hope most people don't have to go through something like that. You know, hopefully everyone makes the good decision, follow God, you know, and don't, you know, doesn't get so far off the track that God really has to do something crazy to get them back. But, you know, if he does, it's good, you know, in the end, so.
That's awesome. Well, then from there, how did God call you to the priesthood?
Well, you know, before I was even ready to follow a call, I needed to form a relationship with God, so I didn't really know him that well. So that summer, you know, I was sort of seeking what God wants me to do with my life, and, you know, in order to do that, I was, you know, building this relationship with him, getting to know him better, going to Mass, you know, going to confession, praying more often, reading the scriptures, you know, spiritual reading, that sort of thing. And I eventually went to this place called Madonna House in Canada, which is a lay apostolate community a few hours north of Toronto. And I was planning on spending a month there, but I actually spent a total of like 9 months there.
Wow.
Just because it was so powerful. Like, it's a group of men, women, and priests trying to live out the gospels. Like, there's a farm there. They live in, you know, they take promises of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And it's just a wonderful, loving community. And when I was there, you know, I had no idea what God wanted me to do with my life, but I knew that he wanted me to be there, and that's, you know, that's where I was supposed to be.
Mm.
And as a result of that, I really grew my relationship with him, because I prayed to him every day, and I went to daily Mass and whatnot, and I worked hard. I remember John Paul II saying that when he, you know, when, you know, Poland was taken over by the communists, he was working in the coal mines or something like that.
Mm.
And he said that the values he learned from that work was more important than all his other studies. Not to discount, you know, like college and whatnot and you know, and academic pursuits, but, you know, the value of hard work is something that I really learned at Madonna House, because I was very much working every day in terms of, I was like cutting down trees, I was, you know, splitting logs, splitting wood, because most of their buildings are wood heated. And, you know, it's Canada, so it's pretty darn cold. So, it was pretty awesome. And then eventually, you know, after doing that for 9 months, you know, I just felt this desire. Now, after building the relationship with the Lord, that this desire, this calling, this feeling, or this pull towards the priesthood.
Mm.
And I you know, haven't turned back, and I've joined the seminary starting in 2013. And it's my second year, so it's pretty awesome.
Alec, that's awesome. And so basically, the work you did when you were at Madonna's house, you were a lumberjack.
Basically.
That is awesome. And you are the only lumberjack that I know. So you've helped me to become more complete a person by knowing you. By your goodness, absolutely. I'm joking a little bit, but that's so cool that you know, you're a lumberjack. So, you know, but it's certainly hard, good work and that sort of thing. And that's a great message that, you know, that you reflected on from Pope John Paul II and lived out in your own life. Alec, thanks for sharing that. We'll come back to you in a little bit. But Eric, why don't we hear from you, your vocation story, and in particular, if you can also give that insight, because we opened the reflection of the show, and Alec was very, you know, good in his story to kind of key in on it, of you know, how did you become a disciple of Jesus, and then, you know, from that, how did God call you to the priesthood?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd just like to say I'm a cradle Catholic, so I was raised Catholic. My parents are very devout. We always went to Sunday Mass and Catholic school kept me in touch with the sacraments.
What parish were you from?
I'm from Saints Philip and James Parish in Exton. Well, for me, the moment when I reacquired my discipleship with Jesus and the moment when God called me to priest, to the priesthood, are actually pretty much one and the same.
Hmm.
I never wanted to be a priest growing up. There was only one time. That was right after I received my first Holy Communion back in second grade, and I thought to myself, you know what, I could do this. I could be a priest. This would be cool. But as I got a little bit older and started thinking about it more, I thought, no. I don't want that. I don't want that kind of lifestyle. You know. Besides, I have 10 years of schooling ahead of me before I have to make any decisions about anything.
Mm.
So I went through grade school, kind of went through high school, and I tried not to think about it, didn't really think about it a whole lot. The idea of the priesthood just was just always something that was there, but it was never something that seemed like it was for me. Now, if there are any seniors listening, any high school seniors listening to this program, I was pretty much like you guys were when you guys ended your senior year. I thought I knew where I wanted to go, or at least I had started applying. I applied to one school. I applied to St. Joe's University. I wanted to pursue a career in marketing and advertising. I wanted to market either pharmaceuticals or medical equipment. I wanted to get married, have a beautiful wife, have three kids. I wanted to have two sons and a daughter, but the boy had to be first. That way he could help protect the daughter from any other guys. But I still wanted that, you know, daddy's little girl. And so that was very important to me. Entering into my senior year in high school, I knew what I wanted to do with my life. Get married, have that family, have the job I always wanted in order to provide for my family. And the priesthood always seemed like it was getting in the way. The priesthood seemed like it was taking that away from me. And that was why I never was really open to the idea of the priesthood. It seemed like it wasn't some gift of a vocation or anything like that. It seemed like it was messing up my plans. Well, the problem was that I didn't understand the plan. So beginning in August, before my senior year, I started hearing the call to the priesthood every day. I couldn't stop thinking about the sacraments. I couldn't stop thinking about Mass. When I would daydream, I would think about priests I knew celebrating the sacraments. Sometimes I would even imagine myself as a priest. And for 3 months, this went on, from August until the end of October, every single day. Until finally in October, I was up late one night doing homework. I couldn't focus. It was probably about 1 a.m, so I was getting pretty stressed out because I had a test the next day. And I knew in my heart that the reason I couldn't focus was because of this idea of the priesthood. It wouldn't leave me alone, and I couldn't get out of my head. And so finally, I did what I should have done years before, and I started praying. Now, this is, I'll be honest with everyone listening, I didn't have a prayer life throughout all of high school. Throughout the end of grade school, I didn't have a prayer life. All I did was I went to Mass on Sundays and I received the sacraments. But other than that, I didn't pray with God because I thought if I prayed with God, he would mess up my plans for my life. He would make me become a priest. And at that point, I didn't want that. So when I finally started praying that night back in senior year in October, it was a pretty raw moment. I didn't really know how to pray, so I started by talking to God. I began by saying, you know, God, you gave us free will, right? You know, thinking to myself that this was going to boost my own desires and plans for my life. And in my heart, I felt this idea. I felt this this idea that wasn't mine. It wasn't put there by me. It just, from then on out, I had a feeling that these feelings I had in my heart, these ideas, these thoughts, these answers that weren't put there by me but wouldn't leave me alone, I began to understand that this was God trying to talk to me. And so I said, God, you gave us free will, right? And in my heart, I knew that was true. I knew that was right. So I said, okay, so if I wanted, I could get married. I could have the family I always dreamed of. I could have the job I always wanted. You know, I could live the good life. But in my heart, I knew while that was true, I just had this feeling that it wasn't part of the plan. It didn't jive. Something wasn't right. So I said, okay, God, I said, okay, so maybe this call I'm feeling wasn't so much a call to the priesthood as it was a call to service. My dad was in the military. when he was younger. Me and my older brother are Eagle Scouts. My younger brother is working towards his Eagle Scout. And service was very much a part of my life in the parish and through scouting. So it was pretty much in my blood at this point. So I could have lived with the career of service. I am willing to serve and die for this country if it's ever necessary. And so I was at that time as well, and I thought to myself, okay, well, maybe this call I'm feeling isn't a call to the priesthood, but a call to service. Maybe I'm called to serve my country. So I said to God, I said, all right, God, so if I wanted, maybe I can enter the military, maybe through an ROTC program or something similar. I could serve you and this country. I could save your children's lives. But in my heart, whenever I would think about the phrase, save your children's lives, all I could think about was saving his children's souls. And so I really had to stop for a moment and think, because that was the first unignorable indication that I was being led to the priesthood. And so I realized at this point that I'm kind of on the losing side of this negotiating battle that I'm having with God. So I start to think, well, maybe I can meet God in the middle. So I say, okay, God, so if I wanted, I could get married, have the job I always wanted, the family I always dreamed of. But when I'm older, I could become a permanent deacon and serve you at the altar still. But in my heart, I just kept hearing God say, you could, but it wouldn't be part of the plan. And so at this point, I have exhausted every option that I've ever considered for my life, except for the one that I didn't want. The way I saw it, my entire life, I had been walking down this path, preparing for the life I had wanted, the job I had dreamed of, and now I had reached the edge of a cliff. And God was saying, take that step. He said, go ahead, take that step. You won't. I dare you. And he said, is it because you're scared? And I said, yeah, it's because I'm scared. This is contrary to everything I've ever thought I needed or wanted in my life. But I didn't have anywhere else to go. I didn't have any other plans for my life. And so I took that step, and it was like walking on air. God was there to catch me. And so I said to God, I said, all right, God, we'll try it your way. And at that moment, I decided I was being called to the priesthood. I admitted I was being called to the priesthood. Because, to be honest, if I'm being honest with myself, I was being called to the priesthood ever since I was back at second grade. Throughout my entire time in grade school and in high school, there were times and moments where the Holy Spirit was trying to speak to me, and he was telling me, you ever thought about the priesthood? My mom always asked me ever since I was little. She said, "Hey, Eric, you ever thought about the priesthood? I think you'd make a good priest."
Wow.
Old ladies at the parish and even teachers I knew, teachers back in high school, they asked me, "Hey, Eric, you ever thought about the priesthood? I think you have qualities that would make a good priest." Priests I knew would encourage me, and every time I would, thank you, that's very nice, but no, thank you, that's not for me.
Yeah.
I would see signs and posters, and sometimes I wouldn't even see anything. I would just be walking through the hallways, and the idea of the priesthood would enter my mind. But I always chalked it up to, oh, well, that's just because they encourage us to think about it in school and in church. I didn't think that it was, a vocation. And so I applied to through the vocations office to the seminary during my senior year, and that was the best decision I've ever made. I have not experienced such profound joy since entering the seminary and happiness and peace. And that's not because I think every young male or every young female is supposed to enter a vocation to the religious life or the priesthood. I don't think that's true. The reason it brought me the most happiness was because I found what I was meant to do. I found my vocation. And so to any of the young listeners out there, the dream life is always accompanied by a sense of peace, no matter what it is. No matter what you're doing, there's always some aspect of satisfaction that you assume will come with that. That satisfaction and that peace won't be found until your plans align with God's plans for your life. And that's where my discipleship with Jesus comes back into play. Because to be honest, I had been running from Jesus because I was scared. I didn't pray, and it was only through the grace of his sacraments that I was, you know, even still open to a relationship with God. But it's that. So my discipleship was reignited after I got over my fear of the possibility of a call to the priesthood, because all it took was an openness, and I began praying again. I began talking to God, and I began really falling in love with what I was doing, with my time at the seminary, with my the studies, the church, and so once the fear got out of the way, once I realized that, I at the very least I have to give this a shot, I became open again, and my relationship with Christ started to grow. And so that moment when I realized my call to the priesthood, that was really the reignition of my faith life and relationship with God.
Praise God, Eric. Thanks for sharing that beautiful job. And so we have two great seminarians here, Eric and Alec, and this is 70s throwback. Eric used a word that was very popular in the 70s, and we'll create a little competition. We'll see which one of us can use the word jive the most in the rest of this interview here. But beautiful job, both of you. Thank you so much for sharing it. Do you want to give the audience Eric, you started this. Could you guys give some more insights into the life at the seminary? How was your adjustment there? Do you jive the question? That's horrible.
I'm jiving all right. The life at the seminary is actually one of the best parts about being at the seminary. You know, aside from being able to build your relationship with Christ, one of my favorite things is the fraternity and the brotherhood you experience at the seminary. We have about 140, 130 guys on campus, and about 40 of them live in the college division. And so for all of you out there who have brothers, you understand what it's like to live with your brothers all the time, and it doesn't vary a whole lot at the seminary. There are times when we get on each other's nerves, but it's there is a relationship aspect there, which is present, which is different from every other college experience, and that's what makes the seminary so unique. There's always something to do, because there's always some group of guys either goofing off or watching TV or playing a game or something.
Instead of studying and praying, so
when you're constantly surrounded with some of your closest friends, who we consider our brothers, it's just a great experience. Because the idea of fraternity and friendship is not apart from every other college experience, but when you live and pray with your best friends, when you live and pray with guys you consider to be your brothers, there's an aspect and a beauty. There's a relationship building feature that can only be found there, and it's what truly brings our relationships with each other one step higher than they could be anywhere else. It's because we pray together. But it's living with 40 of your closest friends is a blast.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Alec, what's some components of the seminary that you like to reflect on?
Yeah, the guys at seminary are great. We're all in this together. We're all pursuing the priesthood. There's four pillars, and again, to quote JP2 or to talk about them, the four pillars that he really said about the seminary that a seminarian is called to grow in are spiritual, intellectual, pastoral, and human. So those those four pillars, you know, spiritual, intellectual, we all know what that means by praying and studying, but, you know, human and what was the other one? Pastoral, you know, we have a, what's called a Thursday apostolate. So every Thursday, seminarians do different forms of service. So for last year, for me, I was at this place called Women of Hope, and it's a place where there's mentally disabled women there, and I would go there every Thursday, and I would just be there to talk to them and to reach out to them and to see how they're doing. And, you know, I can't, of course, cure their disease or their illness, but I can be there to just be a loving presence and to pray for them, to give, hopefully, to be a source of grace for them. And this year, me and Eric are what's called the Vocations Apostles. So that's why we're here. We're blessed to be able to bring people to talk about vocations to others. So every Thursday, we go to a different high school or a grade school and talk about vocation. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we went to a JP2 high school. Last week, I went to a grade school, actually, and talked to kindergartners with fourth graders for the first time, and that was really funny.
Oh, neat.
That was hilarious. And they actually were pretty smart, you know. They knew a lot about, they knew what a vocation was. One of them answered that it's something you do and it's not a job, like a kindergartner. I was like, wow, you know, that's better than some of the high schoolers. No offense, but it was really good because, you know, it isn't a job. It's a calling. It's, you know, it becomes your life. And so, you know, the seminary is, the root word of the seminary is Latin. It's seminare, which means to sow. Mm. And at the seminary, you know, the seminarians are really called to grow in, you know, Christ's image and likeness so that, God willing, you know, as priests, we can sow, you know, the seed of Jesus Christ. You know, the word semen means seed. So, you know, that's really the main part of being a seminary is to be a man of God, is to be able to form yourself in a way that you'll be able to reach others. And, you know, it is awesome, but at the same time, you know, it's not easy. You know, we have to get up early at 7 a.m. We have morning prayer, then mass. So that aspect is not my favorite, but, you know, I do it, and, you know, it's always a grace-filled opportunity. Eric's taking a picture of me right now, but Eric, he missed mass this morning too. But, you know, that's
wow, bringing up the big guns.
It's all coming out here. The show's taking a turn for the worse.
It's just
a little drama.
It's very like, you know, normal. The guys there are normal. So this is it. If you feel called to priesthood, you know, you're at the seminary. If you go to church, you go to mass. You know, you go to for morning prayer and evening prayer. You study, you go to class, and you eat. You know, that's about it. And then there's other lot of fun things too, hanging out with the guys. I'm a big sport guy right now. There's what's called the OBA at the seminary, Overbrook Basketball Association. There's also like a soccer league that we've sort of formed, and we play other seminaries actually. We play like the Theological Seminary in Washington D.C. and a few others, and. But yeah, you know, it's you know, if God wants you there, that's what's really important. I feel God does want me there. So yeah, it's definitely a blessing. You know, there's great people around you. You know, there's really good staff, great priests, great faculty to lead you and to set a good example. And yeah, it's quite the blessing.
Tremendous, and which is not an unusual occurrence, but we did have a guy leave the seminary that was announced today. Not that we're going to comment on that. He wasn't a Philadelphian, but studying for the Harrisburg Diocese. We have several dioceses that send to Philadelphia. You know, so when a guy leaves the seminary, you know, should he consider himself a failure or a loser for not finishing the seminary? What would you say about a guy leaving the seminary?
No, absolutely not. I think everyone who's decided to leave the seminary would often admit it's much harder than it is to enter. But the way we look at it is not that, you know, not that we're losing a priest, not that we're losing, you know, a vocation to the religious life, but that we're gaining someone, we're gaining a husband that is stalwart in his faith. We're gaining a father who can raise his children, you know, and in the way that the church feels is best. When a guy leaves a seminary, we don't think he's quitting. We don't think he's a failure. Instead, we oftentimes support him and rejoice because he's figured out that God's plan for him doesn't lie at the seminary anymore. Mm. That he has figured out that, you know, he has figured out better now that what his vocation is. He's getting a better glimpse into what God is calling him to. And also, just because a guy leaves the seminary doesn't mean that he wasn't meant to be there. There isn't anyone who goes to the seminary who isn't better off for having gone there when they leave. At the very least, the seminary is human formation. It's forming us to be better men, to be better Catholic men with a better Catholic identity who are willing to stand up for the church and her message. And so if a guy leaves, that's a beautiful thing. It doesn't mean that he in any way is abandoning what God's calling him to. It means he's embracing it. And we really, we cherish that, and we support him in the seminary. Because one of the things that we find the most solidarity in is our discernment at the seminary. Mm. So we all understand what it's like to discern a vocation. We all understand what it's like to really wrestle with the idea of what is God calling me to do. And I think if you've never had the desire to get married, and if you've never had, if you've never had that thought in your mind, well, what if I am called to the married life? What if I am called to the religious life? Then I think either A, you're not open, or B, you're not human. And so we all understand. We've all had those moments where the what ifs, and we find strength in each other, and we find strength in moments of clarity that God have given us. We find strength in consolations that the Holy Spirit has given us, that we are in the right place. But nonetheless, we know what they went through in trying to discern God's will. And so we support them in their efforts.
Mm, beautiful and well said. And so, you know, just a reminder then that, for a guy going into the seminary, it's not that you're automatically going to become a priest, but it's an opportunity to resolve, like, what are these thoughts? You know, these recurrent desires and thoughts that seem connected to the priesthood. You go to the seminary and live the life, and you're able then to resolve that idea, or confirm the idea and then move on for ordination, where the church itself then confirms that you've been called to the priesthood. Let me just take a moment to break in for a commercial here. My name is Father DeLacy, the vocation director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. If you or you're a parent of a guy thinking about the priesthood, you're a guy thinking about the priesthood, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. You can get my contact information at www.heedthecall. That's www.heedthecall. And about a week's time from the airing of this, we're going to be having our Come and See Weekend at the seminary. So calling all of our high school men, especially those that are really seriously thinking about it, you know, can come to the seminary, experience the guys. You'll get a chance to meet Eric and Alec and you know, experience how wonderful they are. They really are two, you know, fine individuals, and the whole community at this seminary is just made up of tremendous individuals. Both Eric and Alec, I'm very fortunate to have as part of the vocation apostle. Alec mentioned it, and you know, I'm just very proud of what these guys do, and you know, the good works that we're able to accomplish because of the great talent level that God has given to these two and the other men on the team. So I'm very, you know, enthusiastic and grateful for your yes to God in you know, in your vocation. So thank you so much. So
thanks, Father.
Thank you, Father. You're welcome. So, well, what advice would you give to guys, you know, who are thinking about the priesthood?
You know, to go with the JP2 jive, I guess you could say.
nice.
Groovy.
Yeah. I would say, you know, be not afraid. That's what JP2 said, you know, be not afraid. And, you know, on our poster for the seminarians, all those from Philadelphia, it says, be brave. So how do you not be afraid? You got to be brave. So no matter what you're called to, you know, our vocation is really important in our life, you know, and if we follow it, you know, it's going to be awesome. We're going to be totally fulfilled and become the best person that we can be. So, you know, don't be afraid. Follow God. Whatever you feel called to, that's definitely the best thing we can do in our lives. You know, God knows us really, really well. He knows every hair on our head. He knows us inside and out. And all he wants us to be in the end is be with him in heaven, and is to be happy. But not happy in the sense of like you're always super zealous and joyful, but happy in like a deep sense of peace and content. So that's really what it is to follow, to how you feel when you follow God. You know, you feel not only do you do so much work for the church, you know, you get to bring other people to Christ through him, you know, through his grace and power, but you know, you get to, you know, you become fulfilled in life. And you know, when I was away from the church, I felt empty. And you know, I can guarantee people who go down that path who don't follow God, they're probably going to feel empty inside. But if we do follow Jesus Christ, and I know it sounds corny, but really, if we do, we feel so much just fullness and joy and peace, you know, for in the end. So it's totally worth it, you know. And I would just say, don't be afraid.
Great, wonderful. And so often, what we're afraid of is usually an indication of where God's calling us to. You know, not just for the priesthood, those who are called to missionary life, those that are called to be doctors, you know, lawyers, and says, oftentimes the thing that we're afraid of is the very thing that God is calling us to, and that fear is an expression of us detecting that. Eric, we have a few more minutes here, so what would be your advice to guys, you know, thinking about the priesthood?
Sure. My advice is kind of twofold. In nature. I think the first aspect of my advice is that you're never going to know for sure until you give it a shot. There's no way of discerning a call to the priesthood outside of the seminary. To be true and honest with yourself and with God, to have the fullest sense of openness to his plan for you, it does require taking that step. And it doesn't mean that you have to spend, you know, 8 years there discerning a call to the priesthood. You may know within the first two, you may know within the first three, but you never will be 100% sure if this gut feeling you have is genuine or if it's just, you know, something else. And then the second aspect is I know personally that the feelings I had would not have gone away. They wouldn't have left my mind or stopped bothering me until I entered the seminary. If I had refused to enter the seminary, I believe to this day, I still would have been thinking about that priesthood idea, and they wouldn't have left me alone.
Great. Well, Eric and Al, thank you both so much for your yes and for your wonderful vocations. Please pray for vocations. I thank everyone for their great support. Listen to us every first Friday of the month, and may God bless you and have a blessed day.